Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, joining you from this snowy... I think this is never going to end. This winter in Chicago is never going to end. But nonetheless, we are, I don't know, 18 stories up overlooking the Chicago River, and it looks cool. It just... I have no interest in getting in my car and driving out of it. On the show today, Katie Lynch. She is probably one of my favorite people in the world, but definitely in Chicago in the tech scene. She's been around since 2007 or more than, well, she's been around longer than that, but her business in tech in Chicago has been around for since like 2007. So the stories that we go into are, I think, pretty cool. I mean, you know, she started a startup that got acquired. Then she started her own company, a marketing company, Social Katie. And then she was the CEO of Tech Week, which is where a lot of you people got to meet her. And now her and Craig are, Craig formerly of Belly, are now start. Well, they're not now. They have started Codeverse, and they're already into three locations. And I mean, I gushed all over, you know, the concept of Codeverse when she first came in and talked about it. I did even more of that on this show because I just think it has so much more potential than even its mission, which is insane because the mission is to teach a billion kids to code. So like, I don't know how much bigger it gets, but I think that in this show and many others and blogs and everything else, you hear about people talking of what happens to all of the human employees when the computers take over. And I mean, yes, I'm sure that will happen at some capacity. I don't know. But I think that like we still have control of our own value and bringing value to anything we do, whether that's a job or a relationship or whatever. Like you, it's on you to deliver value. It's on you to be irreplaceable. I've never met anyone who's in a happy marriage and they're like, oh man, it's great. We're both just there. Like, oh, he or she is just such a great occupier of space. It's got to be more than that, right? It's got to be she or he makes me feel better, or he or she does this or that that makes me do this or that, or I bring this out of them. Like it's there's more to it. You need to bring an element that makes everyone around you better, and then the collective is better, and then you gain ground. You do things, and then you attract other people who want to be around you because you're awesome. And then together you do even more things. That's how this world works. And I think we like put ourselves in a vacuum and just assume like we're just waiting for the machines to take over, like iRobot. Like just it's bound to happen. You have control of that. And for the kids out there, Katie and Codeverse are kind of helping you out a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot. They're literally teaching you confidence and creativity, and maybe most importantly, how to express yourself through technology and code language. They've created their own kid script code that's based on other main, you know, quote unquote adult languages that help kids learn faster, which is great, makes it more fun, and they can make robots move and lights blink and just all kinds of cool stuff. But really what it is like, if I give you this basic infrastructure, like what will you do with it? And the question to me is like, if you want to have a career, and it doesn't, like Katie talks about in the show, it doesn't have to be tech, it doesn't have to be a founder, it could be a dancer, it could be a musician, it could be whatever the hell you want it to be. If you step out in front of the group and you pour your heart into it, and everyone looks at it, it's like, that's your version of whatever you did. It is unique to everybody else. You're not going to be overwritten by a machine, at least not yet. The algorithms are moving and they're learning quickly and they're passing by average folks. Below average folks, they're already past, but they can't think and be artistic. And the ability to teach a 7 or 8 year old boy or girl or whoever, whatever, to express themselves with no regret and challenge themselves to learn, and they keep learning until they figure out a way to tell whatever it is they want to tell in their own way, using their own language. And then watch you experience it in technology or in whatever it is, I think is a life lesson that we'll fast forward, we'll look and be like, oh my God, that's it. The people who are able to utilize technology to make themselves and everyone in the room better are safe. And the people who don't, won't. And that's a problem that somebody, Elon Musk, will have to solve on his 80th birthday. Regardless, it was a very cool conversation and you will want to hang out and check that out. Before we do that, it is time to check out the Startup Inbox. This has become a weekly, bi-weekly, tri-weekly thing. People are starting to really pick it up and DM us. You can obviously DM me at Katoon on all things social. DM us at Technori. There's an even easier way. Go to technori.com. Right on the bottom, right-hand side, the little green button, assuming that you're signed into Facebook, which apparently, based on all the data breaches, is the case. You just tap on that, and you can write whatever the hell you want, and then I'll try to answer it. One of the questions that came up was so good that we are going to spin this into yet another mini podcast after this. So this is going to go out, and then there's another one that's going to be linked to this, because I thought the question was like needed more than just my interpretation of it. I thought there was more to it. So I'll read the question. I'll give you a very brief answer, and then I'm going to plug you to have to go to the next podcast to actually get it. So the question was, what do you do when you recognize an opportunity or a gap, but you don't know how to capitalize on it? So it might be an industry, and in the podcast that's coming up next, we're going to talk about, I'm going to use the example of esports, and you could use crypto and blockchain to a lesser extent, that you know that there's something there. I know that there's something coming, but I don't know what it looks like. I can't visualize how I'm going to take advantage of it. I just know there's something there. What do you do? And I'll give you the short answer for this so that we don't just leave you hanging. The short answer is you need to do a lot of research and get more context. You need to immerse yourself. Like it's very inexpensive to drive yourself. Like, let's just say it's esports. It's very inexpensive. I mean, not, you know, relatively speaking, it's very inexpensive for you to just jump in and buy a game, sign up for Twitch and start streaming and follow the crowd. Like, do they go sign up for, I don't know, Reddit pages and stuff. They subscribe to stuff, like do the same thing. You start seeing them gambling and playing with money and exchanging things on cryptocurrency and using Unicorn and all this other stuff. Like, do that and like use your own personal time and money to do it. And if you can't figure out how to fill the gap at that point, you know, the only thing I can ask you or tell you is you're going to have to look around and determine if the gap is there for a reason. Did people recognize there's an opportunity, but the cost of filling the gap was outweighed what the actual reward for filling the gap was? And if that's the case, that's a pocket, and it just tends to be what it is, and it stays that way forever. And if not, and it's a huge gap, maybe people just haven't quite figured it out. They don't know. You'll be the first one. So my two cents to that question, without going into the second part of this, which is a podcast, the deeper dive into this, my two cents are you need to go and look up what people are doing in that and try to figure out for yourself the context of it. So that's that. This inbox is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. We just announced in our newsletter today a partnership with ActiveCampaign. Super excited. We're using ActiveCampaign. I think you should too. My literal words were, this is too good to be true. And then we didn't do it. We tried name your CRMs there, and then came back to this when we re-engaged ActiveCampaign, tried it out, and it's amazing. So you need to check it out. The deal is, if you sign up to activecampaign.com/technori, you will get your second month free so you can test it out on your own. And the customer service is insane. It's the best ever, the very best ever. And then for the founders, I want to make sure that this is stated, because Jason, the CEO of ActiveCampaign, was on this show recently, and he said all the founders that come on this show can qualify to get ActiveCampaign for a year for free. And so this is my little way of not only thanking them and telling you that, but also telling you if you want to be on Technori and you want to pitch on Technori and raise capital from Technori, you need to go to technori.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says apply. Click on it and join the hundreds of companies who have applied to pitch at Technori in our history and become one of those companies that has now raised over $1 billion in capital, 25 million of which came directly from the audience. So I recommend you do that. This is my interview with the wonderful and talented Katie Lynch, co-founder and CMO of Codeverse. Honestly, what I think is really cool about Codeverse in general, in addition to obviously what you guys do, which we'll recap for those who don't know Codeverse. Yeah. But one of the things I think is particularly cool about Codeverse versus really anything else in the tech and startup scene in Chicago or really anywhere is that most of the time it's like in the city. They don't branch out. There's no like touch points. If they have a location or a headquarters, it's not something you can go to, mm-hmm. and you can be like, oh, this is, you know, this is the best. This is a cool place for me to like experience whatever your SaaS is, whatever you're building. Like, you can't go and touch it. And you guys obviously you have the initial, you opened up and set up shop here in Chicago, but now you're in Wilmette and you're in Naperville. You're out in my neck of the woods. I'm a suburban person who lives this alter ego, quasi poor man's Batman here in Chicago. And then I go home and my wife and I live in, you know, our condo and to sort of hide from the world. And I see like code verses popping up around me and I'm like, I know them. I know these people.
You sure did.
I do. And that's like, that's one of the coolest things about it. So, I mean, like, just from your standpoint, obviously, you know, recap what Codeverse is and does, but I'd like you to focus, you know, even more on like why you think it's so important to branch out, not just because the business model says we need to have more locations, but strategically picking Wilmette and Naperville and like these areas that I think I know why, but like, I'd love to know why you guys decided, like, let's not just have this one incubator epicenter here. We like go out.
Yeah, totally.
So tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, so as a refresher, so Codeverse is really the world's first fully interactive coding studio and ed tech platform for kids ages 6 to 13. So we offer after school coding classes, weekend, evening, as well as summer camps. So, yeah. And as far as like our locations and where we are. So the first flagship studio, it opened in July of 2017 in Lincoln Park. And then we recently just opened in Wilmette in Naperville, which is pretty cool. But the whole reasoning behind that, I mean, first and foremost, the mission of the company is to teach a billion kids to code. Yep. So it was
small mission. We talked about this when you launched. It's like, I got this idea for a company. It's going to be cool. We're just going to impact a billion lives. Like, small start.
No big deal. You know.
It's fine.
And once we get to a billion, maybe 2 billion.
But that's kind of the part of this. So I'm going to pull what I call an Emerson Sparks. We're going to try to have multiple conversations at the same time and see how this goes. I think you're up for it because I know you socially and I know you can handle this.
Do you see the big smile on my face?
I'm
up
speaking
for
your language. So there's two things going on here. There's Codeverse and what it's going to do and how it impacts kids. And when you talk about a billion people, I don't know what other people think of when they hear that. I think of, in particular, nations and places like Africa and India that don't have access to a lot of education. That's where my mind goes. But the other part of this is, in order to do that, you need to be a marketing superstar.
Yes.
And you are one of those such people who are just tremendously good marketers, like at every level. So like, let's talk a little bit. I mean, don't have to go spend a lot of time, but like a little bit about your personal sort of journey and like what you've done in your life, because I think there's like two major needs for like your qualifications to be able to do this exact job. And one of it is just naturally like being an engaging person who attracts attention and just has this ability to like, look, we're doing something cool. You need to know about it. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other part that is kind of the biggest deal here. And that is children. It's one thing to get a bunch of business owners to be like, I'm going to get rich or I'm going to make more money using your product. It's entirely another to make kids want to do something and like want to push their parents to spend the money on it, but then also tell their parents, like, I know that like this is, you know, maybe it's expensive, maybe it's not, but like this is something that's going to pay itself forward 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And that's a weird place to straddle. Normally it's like, I'm a marketer of this, but you're like literally have to not only be a marketer of the brand, but like also to little people and tell them like about this.
Yes.
So tell me more about like your back. How did you get to a position where, When I just knowing what I know of you, I can look at what you guys do and be like, there couldn't be a more natural fit for a person to play that role. But how did you get there?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'll address then the first part of the question around my background. So, I've been in Chicago for over a decade now, which is wild. I first moved here in 2007. And the tech scene, by the way, was completely different back then from how it is now. Like, I'm so impressed and proud to, you know, live here and work here and just see how, again, how it's evolved over the past decade. But when I first came here, I worked at a travel startup, basically managing single-handedly all of their marketing initiatives. So that's how I got into the world of marketing initially. And then once that travel company had sold to TripAdvisor, I started my own marketing agency called Social Katie, which was based here in River North. And so, you know, if there's one thing I learned about marketing, or social media marketing, is it doesn't really function as a standalone, like sending out tweets and you know, Facebook messages and all that for businesses, like, doesn't really, like, scale and doesn't really have like a massive impact.
Yep.
But when you pair that with things like traditional advertising and SEO and PR and, like, email drip campaigns and all of these different things, it can have a massive impact. And so, you know, with my experience at Social KD and even with my experience at Tech Week, running Tech Week for the time that I did, I've learned so much about what it means to build and really scale a company. And so, and doing that with technology. And so with Codeverse, with the mission of teaching a billion kids, you know, one thing that we've had to be really diligent about is figuring out, okay, where are we expanding to? Like, what is all the market research and what are all the things that we need to do to be able to get the Codeverse brand and the name and the word out there? Yep. And so, yeah. And so to answer your first question at the very beginning, you know, why Wilmette and why Naperville? I mean, they're very family centric communities. You know, there's a lot of schools out there. There's obviously a lot of families, kids out there. And so it just seemed like the logical next step for us.
Yep.
Now, that being said, you know, Wilmette is an affluent area. Naperville is an affluent area. And so one of the big things that we do is we partner with a lot of charities and nonprofits to ensure that all kids are getting access to the studios.
So I want to just like circle around this for a second, because I look at the initial launch in Chicago, and there's a couple of pieces, like I said, two conversations at once. There's a couple of pieces that I want to get in here with, like the first part, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is just my observation watching this as you guys have sort of unfolded one layer at a time. And I look at knowing the suburban market that I know, growing up there and being around it and seeing, sorry to all my friends who are listening to this, seeing what utter waste of time program classes and things that they're doing with their kids, how just like, in my opinion, just zero impact it's going to be and probably is. And it's just like, and maybe the reason they're doing it is because they're just trying to occupy the kids' time. Like, I don't know. But like, if you're going to spend the time and put your kid through something, why not give them something that they can grow on and like learn to love and become passionate and it become something that they can actually do? Like, not that ballet is not that, because it certainly is, but like, let's be honest, like a lot of the kids there, it's like picking their nose. Like, there are better spends of time. You don't have to force someone into one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I look at the educational trend of Chicago, and you talked a little bit about 07 to now. And I'm going to roll in, this is the second part of the conversation, I'm going to roll into the Tech Week piece here. The growth in Chicago, and really just everywhere, but like in Chicago in particular, where you had this, we have to have 1871,
mm-hmm.
we have to have an epicenter, we have to have events, we have to be out in different places, we have to do these, you know, crazy things to draw people's attention, and then we want to educate them with, like, within the confined of them coming to us. Mm-hmm. They're trapped here. And I look at it like, there's 1871, and there's a million other incubators, but like there's 1871, and then there's like the General Assemblies of the world and the adult world, where if I go to 1871 and I want to learn how to do one thing, I go to General Assembly, and then I just sort of like, but I'm still locked in Chicago. What I saw you guys doing was assuming that the maturation of the technology world in general, but also Chicago, is going to continue at such a pace that mm-hmm. it will not be 23 to 35 to 40 year old people who are trying to learn how to code, but rather 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. And that those little people, they can't come down to Chicago on the L, or like just come down here. You need to go to them because they're 7.
Yeah.
And their parents may or may not have any understanding whatsoever of 1871 or tech or Chicago tech or any of that.
Yeah.
So you literally have to figure out a way to tell them a story of like, it's a really fun time. Like, if you had known and you were in Chicago, you would know that there's like fun events around innovation and the kids get to play with each other and they get to learn and, mm-hmm. and interactively like learn together and build things together. But the barrier is you got to go down here. You guys are like, no, you don't have to do that. In fact, we're going to start super early. We're going to come to you. We're going to throw events that your kids are going to love. And if they like coding, they're going to jump headfirst. And if they don't like it, they may still enjoy coming here to play with their friends and like learn how to love this, if that makes sense. Am I like on par at all here?
No, absolutely. You're totally on par. And I mean, again, that all goes back. Like, for us, it all goes back to our mission. Like, as I said before, it was inevitable that we were going to spread beyond Lincoln Park.
Yep.
And we're about to make an announcement where we're going to expand even further than Chicago.
And I expect
which is
you
phenomenal.
And Craig will come back on the next one and talk about these new places.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that really excites me about Codeverse is it's not even just about the brick and mortar. Like, coming into Codeverse and experiencing like all the bells and whistles of being able to program the lights and the robot arms and all these things is amazing. But we also have designed and developed a proprietary language called KidScript, yep, which is based off of adult languages, popular languages. But there's some really interesting things that we can do with SaaS in the future where kids won't even have to be anywhere near a physical studio,
yep,
to be able to experience Codeverse.
So from your side, like, what are the things you learned? Like, you talked about Tech Week and the event side. Like, I think that there's, obviously being in a similar space, I think that there is I don't even know what the right word is for this. There's a certain value that has to be put on events, but it's limiting. Like, there's a trick to how you get people to want to go somewhere and experience this excitement, and then they have to take it home. And a lot of places you lose it. Like a Tech Week, you'd go to there for the week and you'd go to a million, like 4 days in a row, and you're just like super jazzed. Like Chicago Ideas Week, you go there for a couple of days, and you're like, wow, like there's so much cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
But then you can't go home and in Chicago Ideas Week yourself in Glen Ellen on a random Thursday. Like, it doesn't work like that. So you guys had to create a piece of technology, a language that you've created that enables these kids to do this where they keep the energy high, but then they leave and go home, and there can't be a barrier where the parent is like, I don't understand this, I can't get involved, and the kids lose interest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what have you figured out since you launched this where you're like, it worked, we got people here, but if we want to get a billion kids, there's not enough square feet in the world for you guys in your locations to put a billion kids in it. You got to get them outside, yeah, of the walls. What have you learned about that since launching this?
Yeah, well, first of all, that is an amazing question and a very loaded question that, yes, I could write a book about. But I think the biggest things are, like, experiences are everything, right? Like, kids crave experiences, adults crave experiences. And that's really what we've done at Codeverse, is everything from when you first come into the studio, like the check-in process alone is, yeah, an experience. Like, it's very personalized, it's very fun. From, like, we have a chant, like a song that our instructors do at the beginning of every class, which is just hilarious, it's educational, it's cool, and the kids really get into it and memorize it. Like, we have kids that have been coming to Codeverse for months.
Yeah.
And, you know, they walk in and they've almost memorized this chant, yeah, which is great,
it's
right?
It's like the pledge when I was in elementary school.
But it's like that in and of itself adds to the Codeverse magic,
sure,
the experience that we're creating. And then at the end of, the 75-minute classes, the kids get to present what it is that they've built to their classmates, which is pretty cool,
yeah,
right? It's like, oh, I built this game that's similar to Super Mario Brothers,
yep,
in front of like 30 kids in a classroom. Like, that's super cool. And then finally, the kids are sharing these games to their parents, like via from the iPad to their mobile phone. So it's kind of nice because then when the kids go home after the class, they're continuing to experience Codeverse by being able to play the
games. And their parents are blown away because they see that they built this and they're like, how in the hell did you do this?
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah. And so version 2.0 of Codeverse is going to be exactly what you're touching upon, which is taking that experience within the studio and kids being able to continue to build upon their games using KidScript at home.
So tell me a little bit about the experience that you create in this. Is it's got to be unique. I haven't been there yet. I need to do this.
It's too cool.
The next grand opening I need to be at. And for all of you listening to the show, like, you should just go to codeverse.com and look at her. Follow on social is like the best place. I think following like Instagram is like the best way to understand what's going on in the Codeverse world. And I think the part that is so key to your success, and obviously you guys have figured this out based on how you've been able to scale already, is you talked about the teachers, so to speak. Those people have to be like nearly saints, because they have to understand like all the tech stuff, which is in its own is difficult, but the patience of a child is so small,
yes,
that like they usually just throw in the towel immediately if it's hard. So you've got the challenge of like, not everyone learns the same pace. Like, you have to like get them in and inspire them to do more, but then also in the end, like, if they're not having fun, nobody's having fun,
yeah,
right? So like, how are you guys figuring out who is a good candidate? And like, how do you get them to be all in? Because that to me,
yeah,
is like, it's one thing to go to General Assembly and hire someone, mm-hmm, to like teach me JavaScript. It's another to be like, I'm going to leave and unleash 30 kids on you, and you're just going to have to do something because this is going to get crazy.
I love this question. I really do. So I'm really proud of our recruiting and hiring process, and kind of how we've thought about it is this. Coding is quite a loaded subject, yep. right? And it does take that very special person to be able to instill like creativity and fun and like thinking outside of the box yep. in children, especially young children. And so what we do is we hire people with... We basically hire like a myriad of people with all sorts of different types of backgrounds. So yeah, we hire developers, we hire designers, we hire a lot of teachers, as well as improv comedians.
Yep.
Because it's like having all of these different people with all of these different backgrounds can really, you know, create that, again, that magical experience yeah, yeah. for these young children.
It's like hiring the people for the Disney store. Like you need to have like some serious like... charisma, creativity, patience, smarts, like it's, and it's all like, so it's such real time. So I have one final question that I have for you that I can't wait to hear your response on. And I have one that's like comment/, I guess I'm just going to shower you with my own like belief of how awesome this is. So, and why? Because we're now dealing with technology with a lot of companies, larger growth companies, and the questions that you're getting from all of these growth companies that are working with us mm-hmm. are, you know, we need to hire 100 and whatever people over the next while. Obviously, culture is part of it, but like just sheer talent is a thing. And one of the reasons that we have a hard time retaining talent is that I can't put everyone on a core product. So like not all the tasks on coding, and to your point of the loaded term, not all of the tasks in development and web development and app development is sexy. It's like boring stuff. And some of it's ugly and like just old, and it's converting from old stuff to new. It's just not, it's not fun, right? I think, and this is my big takeaway on Codeverse, and it was when I first saw it and now even more so, is the future of just general employment for people in this country and probably across the world is that with AI and other things, like undoubtedly, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, you're all going to lose your jobs. Like, mm-hmm. there'll be a place for people. AI and the ability to have automation in our development and things enable for us to have those sort of lame tasks taken care of and not have humans on it. But where I think humans and what we build are going to become differentiated and special is in our creativity.
Yes.
We have forever been creative in arts. We've been creative in writing. We've been creative in a million things. I talked to you before the show about me being on the board at Wabash Lights, and why I love that is because it's a way for us to use technology and find a way to bring our mental and creative abilities and showcase them through technology. And I think that's the next wave. And I think without Codeverse, the children who come up, if they only stumble upon tech because they solved one problem or because they took a class at X school, they will not have learned how to put themselves mm-hmm. into the tech.
Yeah.
And that's where we lose everything.
So you articulated that so beautifully. And one of the things I loved about what you said is, like, you think about the future and you think about, like, what does it really take to succeed in life? Like, having the skill or being armed with the skill of coding is one thing.
Yep.
But having the life skills of creativity, confidence, learning how to collaborate with others, learning how to be independent yep. and work independently, you know, critical thinking, computational thinking, those are the things that really are going to make the next generation like successful.
Totally.
Or to be honest, anyone successful.
I totally agree.
So what we're doing is we're basically, you know, at Codeverse, we're marrying the skill, the technical skill of coding with and programming with these life skills that are crucial to success.
I look at it like if I was going to look for hiring another person on the technical side, I'm looking at them going, okay, I gave you an assignment. I told you to build this. And you did. And you excelled at all of the categories for which I'm grading. However, I'm going to give this job to the person who made a few mistakes. I mean, obviously, if he or she's perfect, that'd be great. But made a few mistakes, but satisfied their own personal challenges and desires and showed me their version of this app, not my version mm-hmm. of this app. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's the person who, when we get going to scale mode, we hit that J curve, that's the person who's going to come back to me and go, look, we ran into a problem. I don't know what the hell you were doing, but I came up with this solution, which may or may not be the answer, but it's like absolutely different.
Yep.
And that is an individual who's unique and specialized, and I pay for them. The person who just does what is told is like, that's replaceable.
Yeah.
And you guys are making the next frontier of developers who will, by their very nature, because of how they learned to code in the first place, they are critical and unique individual thinkers.
Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
I think that's honestly priceless.
Yeah. I mean, one of our core values is celebrate individuality, which is exactly what you just touched
absolutely.
Upon.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you the question that I want to know the answer to for a multitude of reasons, but I think anyone here listening is going to get a kick out of just because it's you. Like it's a total Katie thing. So you read tons of stuff about the millennials and working with different, you know, this age to that age and whatever. You have the ultimate challenge of having to tap into the psyche of a child.
And it's great.
But you say it's like, so other people would find that incredibly stressful and like in a daunting, maybe impossible task. My question for you is, how do you get yourself inside the mind of a child and then also convey the kind of, let's call it charisma, but it's like, it's more energy mm-hmm. and creativity to be that person that a child is like, oh my God, it's social Katie. Like, how do you tap into that? Where did that come? Like, was that in you forever? Like, or did you jump on Codeverse? Like, I think I'll do this. And then you found it and we're just like, how do you do that? Cause for the life of me, I don't understand it. And Craig, your co-founder is very much like this as well, because he's a very charismatic and interesting person who can, I think, capture the attention of someone very quickly.
Yeah.
But you have a way where it's like, I can literally see you as like a 9-year-old girl sitting next to another like 8 or 9-year-old girl talking about coding. And like, it just clicks in my head. How did you get there?
I think, and this is something that I think all entrepreneurs, great entrepreneurs possess, is this idea that like anything is possible.
Yep.
Right. And I think, the amazing thing about working with kids is they believe that.
Yeah.
Right. It's like they're unabashedly themselves. They're extremely curious. They don't mind breaking things.
No, they definitely don't mind breaking things.
You know, they like to pick things apart and put things back together. And, they're like continuous fountains of new ideas. And I think that, I mean, let's be honest, as we get older, right, as adults, and we make mistakes or we fail, or
there's
something
happens. There's a little
happens.
Jadedness that yeah, just there, naturally
there
comes
is,
in.
There is. There's a jadedness. We're, you know, afraid to face consequences. And that curiosity is dulled a little bit as you mature or whatnot, and you experience all these different things. So I think, you know, when I'm talking to a child, I always go back to that idea of like, okay, anything is possible. And because I'm talking to a young child that also believes that, it's easier to say, okay, what is it that you want to accomplish? What is it that you'd like to see in the world or do? Or what is it that you'd like to build? And some of the ideas are crazy, right? Like some of the ideas that the kids come up with are like, I want to build a unicorn, but then I want to figure out how this unicorn can actually come to life in
the real
world.
That's every person, every founder that sits in my chair says they want to build a unicorn and make it come to life.
All right, yeah.
It's a little different unicorn.
A little bit different unicorn. Yeah. But, you know, these kids, and it's like, okay, cool. Let's start with this idea that, A, unicorns are real. And let's start with, okay, well, how can we make it as real as possible then? Like, what does that look like? How can we build this unicorn on the iPad screen? What do we want the unicorn to do?
Yeah.
Are there any other characters that we want to have? And I think the more questions that we ask these children with this mindset of, cool, anything is possible, I think it's easier to chat to them and relate to them and get them excited. And then in turn, I'm excited to be almost a part of their world.
I think you underestimate how rare the Katies of the world exist. Because one, even the very successful entrepreneurs that I have talked to, they can't avoid the jade. They can't avoid the, you know, I try to avoid this like the plague. People love to talk about the failure thing. Mm-hmm. And part of that whole mixture is supposed to be that you fail once, you learn from it, and you avoid it. Mm-hmm. And I think the damaging part about that, like, I get it, of course, like, structurally, you don't want to fail a bunch of times, you'll go out of business.
Yeah.
But the idea of failure guiding you away from taking risks on things that you know probably won't work, but because you're so jaded from not repeating yourself, then I think you start to block yourself into a corner. Maybe that's why you find founders that hit a certain number of things and then they're fizzle out. It's like an athlete. They fizzle out a little earlier than other people because they just sort of have seen too much. I think it's rare, actually, that you find someone who's like, you have the energy and excitement of a child. Like, you, mm-hmm. you do. Like, you personally do. Like, you come into a room and everyone's like, oh my, like, you just, you're drawn to you because of that. So you should give yourself extra credit on that, because I don't think that everybody is like that, that they see that. And then the other part of this that I think is super cool, and I can see it in the way you tell the story, is how much you learn and iterate on Codeverse
yeah.
from the things that the kids tell you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you have the ultimate tap R&D.
Yeah.
Because these kids are coming up with shit that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. And believe me, the amount, and it's funny you bring that up, because the amount of kids that come to us every single day and just say, I don't like this. I don't like this thing in the studio, or I don't like this character in your object library, or it could be any number yeah. of things. It's like, wow, thanks for telling us, because now we can iterate on that,
yep.
right? It's like, the more feedback that we get from the studios, which in many ways serve as a testing ground for us, right? It's a testing ground for figuring out.
It's a never-ending testing ground.
Yeah, never-ending, which is amazing. And so, yeah, it allows us to say, okay, great, the kids love this, they don't like this, or they gravitate towards this space in the studio and they don't gravitate towards something else. Then again, that is great knowledge for us that we can use as we build out future studios and as we continue to build out KidScript.
With that said, I want to end on sort of this. You talked about how you might be going into new spaces and things like that and opening new shops up. What I want to focus on is the kids themselves. What is the perfect end goal? And it's not an end goal, but like, what's the perfect scenario for you when you fast forward 15 years and one of the 7-year-olds is now whatever, 25 or whatever they are, and they are building their own company?
Yeah.
Like, what is the scenario where you're like, I want graduates, if you want to call it that, of Codeverse to look like this. I want their career path or their creative, their output to look like this. What does that look like for you guys?
Well, I think it's so funny because it's like, it's not, like I would never want to limit a kid. Like you mentioned, like, you know, a kid like starting a business or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But the way that I look at it is, it's like, whether a kid ends up becoming an engineer or a startup founder,
yep.
or a dancer, or the next Beyonce,
yep.
or an artist, or whoever they want to be. I want, like, to look at any of these kids and say, wow, all of them came from Codeverse, and, you know, they've picked up these certain skills along the way, right? Whether it's like they've picked up confidence yep. along the way, or they've learned how to problem solve, or they are building like the next Facebook or, yeah. or Uber or whatnot.
With a little bit, it's better, like, data security.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But you see where I'm going here. Like yep. the fact that they could be talking on TV one day and they could be talking about their experiences at Codeverse and how maybe Codeverse shaped them somehow, whether it was building the confidence or teaching them how to work independently or in teams. Like, that for me would just be unbelievably rewarding. I think that could just be the coolest thing.
I think your calling card will absolutely be the creativity and the confidence piece. And this, I'm going to say this and then like move off, because it could literally be a whole nother show. But I think that putting boys, especially little kids, boys and girls together, you talk about the confidence piece, putting boys and girls together in this space so early enables obviously the girls to have more confidence to code whatever, to be whoever they want. They never thought they couldn't be, right? You let them never think that they couldn't be whatever they want.
Yeah.
But I think one of the problems we have sort of in our, not just our community, but every community really, but tech in particular, is that there's two sides to the boy-girl conversation, where it's like, we just assume that it's girls, like girls need more opportunity. Okay, yes, obviously. And boys need, you know, I don't know what, a lot of shit. Boys need a lot of shit. But like, one of the biggest things I think is boys haven't learned how to deal with being in a room with a girl who is maybe more confident or is maybe more gifted in coding, or because they haven't been in that situation very often. And so when you go to Codeverse as a start and you've got boys and girls who are absolutely dead flat zero equal, and they grow and learn together, you end up developing boys who are more adaptable, they're more understanding, they're more empathetic, yeah. and girls who are also empathetic and understand boy has talent in here, girl has talent here, doesn't matter who's boy or girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And that to me might be the calling card at the end of this, where it's like, they, people who went to Codeverse look like this, they're creative, they're confident, but the big impact in the end is like, all these people come here and they get recruited immediately in whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
because they're not divisive.
Yes.
They've learned to play together from day one.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
You articulated that again so beautifully.
You know, I like code.
You're a code for super fan. I love it.
Just give me a shirt. I'll show up. We got to open a. I have a kid coming on the way, so like we got to get a Codeverse in Glen Ellen. I don't know what I have to. Can I champion that? Can I bring you guys to Glen Ellen? Naperville is not far, but like, you know, I'd like to go like walk to it.
Do you know what? I'd love to maybe get on social media and start getting a group of people together. Done. Start rallying.
My wife
is
on the Glen Ellen Facebook page all day. She can happily champion this. She teaches chemistry. She'll love it.
Oh, wow.
It'll be
cool.
Fantastic. So for all of you listening, go to Codeverse.com. Check that out. Is there anything else you want to, like, obviously on social with Codeverse, and are there any like workshops and things you're doing? Like, where can people go immediately to get involved?
Yeah, well, all the information about like workshops and our camps and classes and all that stuff is just online at codeverse.com. You know, if you're just curious and you just want to check us out and just see what we're all about, like no obligation, no nothing, you can just sign up for a complimentary class.
Boom.
And just 75-minute class, 6 to 13-year-olds, and just come see it. Come see it for yourself.
I think they should. I'm going to let you go, but before we do, it's time for a little startup showcase.
Woohoo!
So simply put, Kudu is reimagining what a textbook is in the modern age. So I'm sure that most of your listeners are familiar with why people hate textbooks. You pay $200-$300 for a static printed book that hasn't changed much in decades. You might be less familiar with the fact that textbook companies now charge an extra $70 or $80 to get access to the online homework. And most campuses are using this since they lost the funding for human graders about 10 years ago. So Kudu combines all the key elements into one package. We have the textbook content that takes full advantage of the fact that it's designed to be digital from day one. We include online homework and the ability to do in-class polls and quizzes with live stats. We've invested heavily in high-quality pre-lecture videos, and every last aspect of Kudu is customizable, so a professor can add her own content in seamlessly with ours. And the kicker, the whole package costs just $50, and students get lifetime access to the materials. So we know it's a game changer, but more importantly, the professors and students using Kudu absolutely love us. Kudu.com, KUDU.com to see the actual product. But we're at MicroVentures right now doing a crowdfunding equity raise. And again, that money is going straight into building these new subjects to launch that turn straight into revenue.
Okay, so here's the deal. So as a recap, Kudu, which is on microventures.com, you can go and invest. Minimum is $100. They've raised about $20,000. They've got about 34 days left of this. Here's the rundown of this. So they're based in California. UCLA is where this guy went to school. So he started off in UCLA. They're at US San Diego and a few other colleges that they're just sort of like trying to onboard. They have grown 1,500% from 16 to 18, generated a little over $150,000 roughly in 2018. And here's how and why. The gist of it is everyone who has kids in college know how expensive it is to buy books, and how, if you're like me at all and you were just a real sweetheart of a student, you would buy it and then just throw it in the garbage. Like, I never actually opened any of this stuff up. But the idea is that instead of buying expensive books from all these other distributors, mm-hmm. the professors themselves can actually put their own content in, reduce the cost, so the kids are paying for, if you have five classes, you charge $50 per class instead of $500 per class or whatever it is. And the idea is that the content is sort of more controlled by the individual professors rather than just like, this is the book, like this is what you'll learn. What do you think, as knowing the education parts that you know, what do you think the opportunity here is? What's your take, I guess?
Well, first of all, I love it because I certainly remember being in college and lugging about a bunch of books.
Yep.
So, you know, cost aside, I mean, the cost already is astronomically high, but cost aside, lugging around books on your shoulder for multiple hours a day.
I think a lot of these books are now digital, so like they don't have to do that. Well, some do. I mean, some of them, they still are like this, but like our own Chicago's own Red Shelf has done a great job of like converting these books to digital. The challenge that I think he's trying to solve for is that all of these things are designed for like simplicity from an administrative standpoint, not from a teaching standpoint. So like arming the teachers with better tools to educate kids as they see fit, rather than like the teachers having to adjust what they're teaching based on what the books that they're given. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it's genius. I think the teachers have more control then over the content.
Yep.
And it's just, it's better for everyone. It's better for the teachers. It's better for the students.
I totally agree.
Again, that it's cost effective. I think it's pretty neat.
I think I totally agree with you. I think the only, if I push back on like the business side of it, the only thing that could be a challenge is literally just the fact that you've got to get all these schools on it.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, he broke it down. I talked to him on Saturday in the live show, and he broke it down to where several million dollars per school, basically, in revenue for him. Each kid is, let's say they do five classes, they're worth like $2,000 a kid.
Yeah.
And if you go to the right research institutions, the teachers are not paid by the institution to teach. They're paid to do research.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids ultimately are getting sort of like a haphazard, listen, I'm a professional researcher and this is my interpretation of the information that you've been given by I don't know who, versus I'm a researcher, this is my content, my belief system, and so on. So I think when you get individualized, you have the benefits to the student, but the negative might be that if the teachers are not inclined to do that, or you can't onboard entire universities, the scaling part could be difficult. But otherwise, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, no, I do too. And you're spot on about your point.
Yeah.
And who, and then it's like, you know, related question to that is like the content then that the teachers are putting into the platform, like, is that being regulated at all? Like,
yeah.
How does that get
we didn't get to that, but the one thing that I'm going to guess that there's some sort of component there, because he mentioned in the conversation about like teachers of multiple universities. I'm a teacher at Syracuse, and you write something in there, and so essentially you have like these teachers from all over these research universities contributing content to this platform, and then they assemble it into the proper books and so forth. So they have their own academic writers taking all the research and all the things that are coming in, and they're able to repurpose it and put it into the books. I mean, I think they have their own writer, editor, aggregators to control that, which I think is good.
Yeah.
But like I said, like I told us, my wife was in the studio when he called, and it was like her one question was like the arrogance of a professor, like anyone, CEO, whatever, the arrogance level may preclude them from allowing someone from Syracuse to write and say, this is the thing. And you're like, well, I go to Harvard. And so like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's
right.
like a pushback. I don't know. But personally, I would much rather see the content come from the teachers who are teaching it, rather than like a professor who's researching and has not even read the book.
Probably. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that's an interesting idea. So you're saying they're raising right now?
They're raising right now. So they're equity crowdfunding. So anyone listening, yourself included, for a minimum of $100 and up to like $10,000 or whatever it is, can invest directly in this company at microventures.com. You just go and scroll till you find Kudu, K-U-D-U. Click on register, connect your credit card, and spend all of your hard-earned monies on these random startup companies. Because why not?
Because why not?
Why not? Katie, this was an utter pleasure. I always love having you come in. Hopefully you guys come in more often. Congratulations on all of the success. You guys are just absolutely killing it. And it's amazing.
Thanks so much. It's good to be back.
Of course. You can come back anytime you want. You know that. You can learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities. Check out the blog on technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.